God sees you and He knows your situation.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Have you ever wondered if God really knows or really cares about what is going on in your life? If you have ever had such moments of doubt, then Pastor Brian Grant's message this evening may be especially for you. This evening, we will hear the first part of Pastor Grant's message taken from the life of Abraham and entitled, You Matter, God Sees You. The main text for this message comes from the account of Abraham's failure to wait upon God, which we find in Genesis chapter 16. In this account, God reveals himself in a very special way to Hagar, the mother of Abraham's child Ishmael, both of whom found themselves alone and in dire circumstances. So please listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings his message, You Matter, God Sees You. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A poor widow with five kids had no money for food. So every day she went on her front porch and she raised her hands to the heaven and she prayed out loud, Lord, you know I have no food in my cabinets to feed my five kids. Lord, would you please provide the food we need? So her next door neighbor, you know, he was an atheist. And after a while, he got sick and tired of this woman and all her religious talk. So one day he decided he was going to teach her a lesson. So he bought several bags of groceries, set them on her front porch, rang the doorbell, and then he hid in the bushes. The widow came out, saw the groceries, and she started praising the Lord. She raised her hands, thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer and for supplying my needs. As she said that, the atheist stepped from behind the bush and he arrogantly said, God didn't supply your needs. I did. He says it's foolish to trust in a non-existent God and give him credit for what I paid for. Without taking a breath, the lady continued into her prayer and she said, Dear God, you are so wonderful. You not only provided food for me today, you got the devil to pay for it. Isn't it great to have a God who knows all we need? Amen. Isn't it great to have this type of a God? A God who can supply all our needs. A God who sees us. You know, in the chapter that we have before us, Hagar uses a name for God that only appears one time in the Bible. In some of the versions, you may miss the name she uses because it has translated the name for you. But down there in verse number 13, Hagar actually uses the name El Roi, El-R-O-I, and the translators have inserted, you are the God who sees. She uses the name of God, El Roi. You see, God has several names in the Bible, and all these names help us to understand a little bit of who He is. If you're sick, He's Jehovah Rapha. Amen. The God who heals. Sometimes we need Jehovah Rapha to touch us. Amen. Sometimes you're in need and we need Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides. Sometimes, all the time, we know we got problems with sin. Amen. And thank God we have Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord who is our righteousness. But this morning we want to talk about El Roi, the God who sees. I'm talking this morning on the theme, You Matter. God sees you. And I want in the next several minutes, I want to share four lessons that we can get from today's text in the book of Genesis chapter 16. Lesson number one, since God sees me, I should wait on Him. Since God sees me, I should wait on Him. In Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, 'See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her.' And Abraham heeded the voice of God." Before they came to Canaan, God had promised Abraham that he would make him a great nation. And they were now 10 years in Canaan, and Sarah still had no morning sickness. She had no cravings in the middle of the night for a cheesesteak. When we were having the first baby, can you imagine at 1 a.m. in the morning, my wife said, "I need a cheesesteak, and I don't only need a cheesesteak," she says, "I need it from whatever that place is on South Street. You know where we live." At that hour, I had to jump up and take her down to South Street so she could have this cheesesteak. Well, Sarah was not having that problem because Sarah was childless. This was not easy for a woman of that day, because having an heir was very important, and women who had no children were ridiculed because it is important to have had an heir. So a common practice was for a wife to give one of her maidservants to her husband. That was quite acceptable for a wife to give one of her servants to her husband to serve as a surrogate mother. It was socially acceptable. Sarah decided she'd take action, and she said, "Abe, I need a baby. I need a baby real bad. So I want you to get together with Hagar so she can have a child for me." And Abram was only too happy to oblige. They couldn't wait on God. Waiting on God is hard, isn't it? We want a better job. A job becomes available that prevents us from having time for church or family. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. A job becomes available that prevents us from having the time we need to worship God and for family. Without taking time to find out if this is God's will, we rush ahead. After all, why wait? In what area are you having trouble waiting on God? I am here this morning to say, since God sees you, you ought to wait on Him. Sometimes we're tempted to rush ahead because what we want to do is socially acceptable. And that's what happened perhaps with Sarah. What she wanted to do was socially acceptable, and therefore it was easy for her to justify the action she was about to take because it was okay as far as the society was concerned. But I'm here to say, social acceptance does not trump God's word. Amen. Social acceptance does not trump God's word. Sarah said, "I waited long enough, and society says it's okay. I can go again. I can go ahead." But society has no clue about the mind of God. You know, I got a stark reminder of this just 2 days ago. I picked up Siri, and for those of you, I hope everybody know what Siri is. Siri is the thing in your iPhone and my iPhone, all right? Siri will talk back to you, okay? So I said to Siri, I was being serious. I said, "Siri, please give me the verse that we are the apple of God's eye." I was trying to get a shortcut preparation for the message. So I said, "Siri could help me. Give me a verse, Siri, that we're the apple of God's eye." And Siri said to me, "Humans have religion, I just have silicon." Can you imagine? Siri actually told me that. I'm not making it up. I was like, whoa. "Humans have religion, I just have silicon." And I said, my. Sometimes we go to the wrong place to hear about God's word. And sometimes that's what Christians do. If we're not careful, we want to hear what the society has to say rather than hearing what does God have to say. God is always right. Society says if you love each other and plan to get married, there's no need to wait until you're married to start living like husband and wife. Am I right about that? That's what's happening today. I was in a church this week and I was shocked. The pastor was recognizing some of his members. They were shacking up, but he didn't really, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, no big deal that you're shacking up. But God's word has not changed. My Bible still says flee fornication. And young person, I want you to know, God still says wait. Don't rush ahead. He doesn't care what the society says. He has not changed his mind. Society says if you're short on funds, why worry to wait on God to provide? Join the line and buy the lottery. And so the Christians, we're in the line. But you know, my Bible still talks about, God still warns us about the danger of trying to get rich quick. God's way is still a word beginning with W-O-R. Do you know the word? It's a word called work. And I thank God that he is able to supply all of my needs, and he's able to supply your needs. And I'm suggesting to you, if you're under the sound of my voice, forget about the lottery. Trust God. I used to say to some of my clients, I said, listen, if you all ever saved up all that money you're playing on the lottery and invested that money, do you realize you'd have been a millionaire? Literally, I actually worked it out for them. I said, if you had invested all the money you play in the lottery, if you had invested it in mutual funds, by the time you get 55, 60, you'd have been a millionaire anyhow. Oh, let me leave that alone. But you see what I'm saying? Social acceptance does not trump God's word. But here's the other thing. Impatience with God has consequences. Amen? Impatience with God has consequences. So look with me in Genesis 16 verse 4. So he went in, Abraham went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. Let me tell you a secret. God will not be hurried. Did you hear what I'm saying? God will not be hurried. He's not going to rush because you are in a hurry. I know it's tough when you're sick, particularly. And I tell you, one of the toughest things as a pastor is to visit individuals who are sick and have been sick for a while. And I realize that as much as I pray in faith, believing, God, he is on his own timetable. And I need to realize, just because I am praying, it doesn't mean he is going to suddenly decide, I'm going to have to hurry up because Brother Brian is praying.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You see, when I was a kid, I would, you know, when we were in the class, we'd jump up because I want to make sure the teacher sees me and sees how urgent I need to be for them to come to me to get the right answer. Or so I believed. But I don't need to do that. You don't need to jump up and down. What God is saying here to you this morning, you don't need to do a thing. God sees you and he knows your situation. Let me share with you. Hold your finger in Genesis chapter 16, but turn with me to Psalm 27. And when you get there, say amen. Psalm 27. All right, we're going to go at verse 13. I would have lost heart, the psalmist said, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I want to hope that the Spirit of God will drive this home to everybody, whether you're young or you're old, that God will drive this home, that God is saying, wait on Him. The psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And aren't you glad to know that you will see the goodness of the Lord, that God has a plan for you. Amen. But if you refuse to wait, you should expect some consequences. Sarah's actions had consequences. Right here, we already see, notice that it produced conflict between her and Abraham. You saw that? That although she was the one who told Abraham to go in and have a relationship with this lady, she immediately starts blaming Abraham. And then if you jump over to Genesis chapter 21, you see how it really, the thing blossomed even more in Genesis chapter 21. Verse number 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing, because now Isaac is born. Abraham and Sarah now have their own baby, and Sarah in verse 9 saw the son of Hagar, that's Ishmael, and verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Abraham was grieved, but you see, all of this was set up because of this impatience. But it didn't stop there. I need you to go somewhere else with me. In Genesis chapter 37, verse number 28. And here's what it says there. Then Midianites, this is when Joseph was thrown in the pit by his brothers. Joseph, and if you remember, Joseph was the great grandson of Abraham. And here we have Joseph. The Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to who? He sold him to the Ishmaelites, the descendants of Ishmael. Joseph, the great-grandson of Abraham, is now being sold to Ishmael's descendants for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. And as you know, eventually what happened was that God's chosen people, Abraham's descendants, now ended up in Egypt for 400 years of hard slavery. All this was set up. I don't want you to miss this. All this was set up because Abraham and Sarah could not wait on God. The problem hasn't ended. Some of you know the Bible story very well, that effectively Ishmael's descendants, many scholars tell us that the Arab nations are the descendants of Ishmael, and of course the Jews are the descendants of Isaac, and the war continues. No wonder the Bible says, he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man. When we decide we are not going to do it God's way, we cause trouble. We have serious consequences. And now I can tell you, I have met many ladies and men too, but a lot of ladies who decided not to wait on God's timing. There was no Christian man available, but they had to have a husband. So they grabbed a nice, clean-looking, ungodly man. I'm not making this up. Over my years, I've seen the story repeat over and over and over and over and over again. And I want to tell you, it's disaster after disaster after disaster. And I'm suggesting to you young people and older ones, wait. Wait on God. We have too many children. Too many children who were born out of wedlock because some man would not wait. And you can control yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can wait. Amen. We don't have to go this route. So many children have experienced untold damage. Oh, I'm going to talk some more about the damage we have done to our children as we go through. But I am here to tell you, listen, when you decide you cannot wait, you cause trouble. It has consequences. What is it that you're rushing on today? Because there's somebody here in the audience that you are thinking of doing something, taking matters into your hands because you're just tired of waiting on God. May God help you to wait. Lesson number one, since God sees me, I should wait on him. But lesson number two, since God sees me, I must stand for righteousness. Since God sees me, I must stand for righteousness. What was up with Abraham? We read the scriptures a couple times already, so I won't reread verses 2 and 6. Why didn't Abraham take a stand? Why did he agree to sleep with Hagar? Oh, you've been following the series, and we know God made the promise in Genesis chapter 12. We know just last week. What happened last week? You can shout back at me. Anybody who remembers what happened last week? The Bible says that Abraham what? Believed God. God says to Abraham, Abraham, step outside and look at the sky. He says, see if you can count the stars. And God says, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham believed God. And one chapter later, his wife says, why don't you have sex with this lady? He says, okay. And when she got pregnant, come on now, why did he allow her to be abused by his wife? He says to his wife, do whatever you want to do with her. Why didn't Abraham take a stand? Sadly, too often folks go along to get along. We fail to stand for righteousness. And I want to encourage those of you, some of you are in the workplace, some of you are in a high school, some of you are in universities, and God is calling on you, on me, on all of us to take a stand for righteousness. Our society is rapidly disintegrating. And more often than not, Christians are doing like Abraham. The Christians are gradually like Abraham, going along to get along. So the society can come up with all sorts of newfangled things, and your friends are discussing how wonderful these things are. And although you know these are contrary to the will and word of God, suddenly you have a speaking problem. You have locked jaw. And God is saying, listen, don't be like Abraham. Because God sees me, I must stand for righteousness. Amen. I must stand. I want to talk to some of you dads. Because we have too many dads in our society who are like Abraham. Dads without a backbone. Dads who have no idea what's going on with their kids and who don't really care. Enough is enough. And God is speaking to some of you this morning, and he is saying it is time for a change. It is time to stand for righteousness. It is time to guide your children in the path of righteousness. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215
215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.